It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys with off-season updates and next season guesses. Here they are, Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Yeah, that's right. We're the Fantasy Football Guys, Kevin.
La-la-la-la-la-la-la-yo.
That was awful. We're going to need to get a new opener. We're going to have that dude do a new one. Off-season guesses. It sounds weird. Anyway, so welcome to the Fantasy Football Guys show. This is the post-draft show, as we're going to talk today about how teams may or may not have improved their teams through the NFL draft.
2 weeks ago, there was a draft. We'll talk about that now.
Yeah, well, see, everybody else has had their take. Now you get our take.
Right. We're going to bring it back.
It was just last week, man.
Was it last
weekend?
Don't
overstate
it. Was it last weekend? It was last weekend, yeah. All right, that's not that bad.
Yeah, well, we're not doing shows every day. Like, you know, we have jobs and lives.
Well,
and
some of us do.
Well, that's true. Some of us are between opportunities at the moment.
Some of us are happily unemployed.
And some of us are happily employed. Anyway, so let's take a look at the news real quick. Before we do that, let's rock into this. Let's do Harry's, dude.
All right.
We know that shaving is kind of a personal thing for people, and changing your blade can be a difficult decision.
Well, Harry's is making that decision easy for you.
That's right. Harry's is offering you a trial set that's a $13 value, so you can try their blades and their other products risk-free.
That trial set includes a weighted ergonomical handle, a five-blade razor with a lubricating strip, a trimmer blade, a sample of their rich, lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Get your trial set now by going to harrys.com/ffguys.
Harry's knows that a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts and lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years.
But don't take our word for it. Try Harry's yourself.
Fantasy Football Guys listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/ffguys.
As mentioned on every single episode, I love that ergonomical handle.
I dig the five-blade close shave and the little trimmer blade as well.
Right. Make sure you go to harrys.com/ffguys to redeem your trial offer.
That's harrys.com/ff. Wait, let me start again. harrys.com/ffguys.
God, how can you get that wrong? It's like 11 letters.
Yeah, you're like 11 letters.
I don't even know what that means. Did you just joke store me?
Yeah.
Kevin went... jerk store. That's what
jerk
it was.
Store.
Jerk store, yeah. Kevin went jerk store on me. It's the worst comeback ever.
It is what it is.
The jerk store called. They're out of you.
That's okay. You're their biggest seller.
Ouch.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, so let's take a look at the news real quick. Only a couple things to report. One of them means nothing at all to anybody. Bryce Petty claimed by the Dolphins.
Hey.
Ooh, rush out right now. Matty Ryan and the Falcons agreed to an extension with $100 million in guarantees.
Yeah, lots of money.
Big winner there, Mrs. Falcon.
Right.
Or Mrs.
Ryan.
Yeah. And the kids as well, and probably people down the line in their family.
I would hope so.
Big chunk of cash right there.
A little bit of scratch.
5-year extension too, dude. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what the thing is you know, Aaron Rodgers is just going to get like half of the money that the Packers have when the time comes.
Probably, and he deserves every penny of it. The problem with that is it makes it difficult for the team to win.
And that's the thing. You know, I look at, you know, we have Carson Wentz coming up in the next couple of years. He kind of strikes me as the kind of guy who's going to go, you know what? I don't really need that much money.
Yeah, I don't know about that. See, the thing that...
Hopefully he'll go, you know what? Just give me like 18, 19 mil a year and go sign some other people so we can keep winning.
Maybe. Or structure his deal so that, you know, he can get things sort of out that don't take a cap hit, you know?
Or an immediate cap hit,
right.
Stretch that stuff out. So we'll see. But, you know, Brady's done that for years. Brady's very well paid.
Yes.
And, you know, but he wants to make sure that there's money for other people. So, number one, he has somebody to give the ball to.
Yeah.
And number two, people to keep him from getting knocked down.
Right.
That's what Tom's interested in.
Yeah, longevity.
Something like that. Jason and Witten calls it a career.
Kid.
Well, no, dude, that was so creepy. I'm not saying there's anything there, but...
I don't think there is anything there, but it's still weird.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jason Witten is going to go directly from, you know, the field to the Monday Night Football booth.
Love it.
That's going to be a little weird.
Love it, man. I really don't have anything against Witten, even though he's a Cowboy forever.
Yeah,
I don't.
He's just one of those. You know what? Honestly, I'd rather have him up in the booth calling games than down on the field catching passes.
Me too.
against those Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, Marcus Wheaton signed a one-year deal with
them.
What
do you think about that? Interesting signing.
Here's the thing, dude. He's shown flashes of brilliance here and there, but not really any sort of consistency as we've seen.
He's only 27, though. Like, he's really young.
Yeah, he's in his prime right now. So he's going to have a lot of competition for playing time with the obvious starters. Plus, there's Mac Hollins is there.
Mm-hmm. Tregs,
Gibson, yeah. Those guys. So we'll have to see how it goes. But he's certainly got some skills. Kevin White option was declined by the Bears, which is no surprise because the guy can't stay on the field. Massive amount of talent. He seems to be like he'll be one of those guys who is a really, really good wide receiver for his second team.
Yeah, maybe. Like, well, if he could stay healthy, man, who knows?
Well, that's just it. Yeah. Maybe whatever they're doing there in Chicago, training-wise or whatever, just isn't compatible with his body. So who knows? We'll have to see. Your boy Marlon Mack had some shoulder surgery. Marlon Mack, the Colts
best running back in the NFL.
Here we go. There we go.
He's the next new best running back in the NFL.
Yeah, Ryan Switzer traded to the Raiders. I love that move, dude. So the Cowboys don't have him anymore.
Yeah, he was that dude that always came up like with that one massive catch.
Right, just out of nowhere. It's like, who is Switzer?
Lightning fast. What? Yeah, heck of a return guy.
Yeah, speaking of those Cowboys, watching now All or Nothing, I put it off as much as I could.
Can't do it.
I thought the same thing. I was like, you know what's All or Nothing? What else is happening this time of year? It's football. I'll watch it because
I'll have a look.
Going in, I was like, okay, if they had done well, if they'd had a good season they could be proud of and had a better season than the Eagles, I probably would stay away because I don't want to see the Crypt Keeper's face. I don't want to see smiles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they really had a bad season.
So it goes through the entire season, right?
It goes, game to game, and they show, coaches' meetings and player meetings and things like that. And they really kind of downplayed the fact that the Eagles just stomped the bejesus out of them.
I bet they did.
They just treated it as another game, But I did say on Twitter that, if anybody's wondering why Dez Bryant has yet to sign with the team, watch episode one.
Really? It's that bad?
Well, it just in the wide receiver room, the coach says, the team we're playing, which was Denver, they have a really good defensive backfield, and they have, a really good defense overall. So we're going to have to be on our A game. And Dez's like, Coach, why you got to be? F-bombs all over the place. What about what we do? Why do we have to worry about what they do? It doesn't matter how good they are. You need to talk about what we got. And it's like, shut up.
Yeah.
We're game planning for the defense we're going to be facing. Shut up.
Did he say that?
No. He was like, we all need to, calm down.
You know,
and
good.
I'll make sure I choose my words more carefully.
What?
Absolutely. Like coddling the dude's, his outburst and his attitude. It's like any coach in the NFL is going to look at that and go, I want no part of that in my receiver room. Plus,
I'm griggity grizzied.
Plus the fact that, he's Mr. Drop. He had like 10 drops last year.
Yep, dropsies.
So all of that.
And Cowboys fans, it wasn't a catch.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't a
catch. Even with the new rules.
Even with the new rules, it's not a catch.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. You know what, though? Zach Ertz, that was a catch.
That was definitely a catch.
100%.
Yeah, and you know what? Jesse James, I wasn't a catch either.
Actually,
it probably would
that
be
that one was
rules.
A little closer.
Yeah.
I actually think that was probably a catch.
Yeah. Ertz took steps and then jumped.
And jumped.
Right.
Come on. Wasn't a catch, guys. So, but, oh, that was a catch. Shut up.
By the way, Angie?
Yeah. Cowboys suck. And also, David Akers dropped the mic.
He did.
He dropped the mic on y'all.
Yeah. The last time you guys were in a championship, these players weren't even born.
They weren't even born. So
it's real talk right there.
Lol. Hey, man, bring your A game. You know what? Get rid of that freaking owner you guys got, and you might have a chance. I don't see them actually doing any damage until he's gone, man. They have a decent core around them. I'm still not convinced. And listen, this is real talk. This is not me hating on the Cowboys. I'm still not convinced that Dak Prescott is an elite level quarterback. I think he's good. I think he'll always be good, but I don't know if he's on the same level as like Russell Wilson or even Wentz or Goff or like, I just don't see him having made that step yet. He was very, very good his rookie season for a rookie.
Right.
And he had a stellar running game behind him. But last year, you know, they kind of fell off. And now I know that Dez had his issues there, but he's a big target.
Yeah.
That's production that you're going to miss, man.
And so with Witten gone too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that, you know, looking at that defense with Sean Lee versus without, the guy just can't stay healthy.
No, he can't. And I'll tell you what, every team in the NFL should be taking notes on what happened in the Eagles locker room last year, because they lost a lot of players too. They lost their middle linebacker. They lost their star offensive tackle, right? They lost their freaking quarterback.
And their, you know, running back.
Their special teams player they lost, right? So, but they had pieces in place that were able to come in and play the system. Not as well. You know, Big V was not as good at tackle. He was not as good.
Of course not.
Nobody's as good as Peters, right? But he was good enough for them to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Which is all it takes.
Yes. So I'm tired of hearing Cowboys fans talk about, oh, well, if Lee was in there. Well, yeah, but he wasn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the dude has injury issues. Listen, I think he's probably, in the top five of linebackers in the NFL.
Yeah, just with his athleticism, he's got a nose for the ball.
Incredible player. He really is. But you know he's not going to play 16 games. So your staff and your personnel offense has to bring people in specifically for that. And go, look, we're not going to get 16 out of him. If we're lucky, we get 12. Right? But we need players around him that can fill in. So until the Cowboys address those kinds of things, you can have all the stars you want in the world.
Yeah.
But if you don't in today's NFL, it's too injury prone, too many things can happen. You have to have a complete squad.
Right. And it's difficult to do that. I mean, you know, the Eagles are pretty lucky that they didn't lose more.
Yes.
You know, the guys that they brought in to fill, you know, those spots were capable. So the next man up mentality did work well in Philadelphia last year, did not work well in Dallas, and in most cases doesn't work well.
It does. It's very difficult. Yeah. It's particularly when you lose someone of the caliber of Peters and then your quarterback. Like losing those, the two probably most important positions on the offensive side of the ball, the left tackle and the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's usually ends in disaster. Yeah.
Right. Now, you know, we talk about, you know, they lost Zeke Elliott, which was huge. And we say, well, we lost Sproles. But you know what? We'd had a couple guys who could come in and take over that role.
They're pretty good. They re-signed Sproles too. I love that.
Yeah, they did. You know, he's probably not going to get a whole lot of carries, but he's going to be back there fielding punts. You know, and that's all
and
we need.
I'm sure he'll be in the backfield a little bit catching passes too.
Oh yeah,
he's put pretty him in dangerous the slot. There.
Yeah, 35, dude. 35.
I don't care.
No, get I'm him saying, out there. Just saying, 35.
He's dangerous, baby.
Gotta love it. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about. We're going to go through basically all the teams and look at their drafts and what we think they're going to be able to do with what they're going to be able to do with their draft picks.
Browns. Oh, Browns just throwing curveballs left and right.
You know what? I don't hate some of what they did.
We'll talk about it, man.
Right. So anybody that's been a league commish knows what a pain it can be, from coordinating the draft to settling disagreements and scoring issues to dealing with that guy.
That one friggin' guy.
Now, everybody commissioner knows about that. Every commissioner knows about that guy. Sometimes the commissioner's that guy.
It's usually the commissioner.
Every league has one.
Yep, and if you listen to the show for even a few years, you know that Flea Flicker is the platform that we've used for all of our leagues, both personal and for TFFG sponsored leagues as well. We've been doing it for years.
Flea Flicker understands the challenges and pain points. The platform was built by commissioners for commissioners.
And Flea Flicker offers email drafts to make draft coordination a breeze, year-round trading capability, the ability to trade future draft picks, and lightning-fast, reliable live scoring.
Not to mention the easy-to-use speedy interface, the powerful commission tools, the special dynasty features, and new this year, you can make taxi or practice squads.
So cool.
It is cool. Great for dynasty leagues.
We like the ease of setting up leagues because Flea Flicker lets you choose from 125 scoring rules for 12 different positions. Lots of flexibility.
Flea Flicker is always 100% FREE, and that includes the mobile app.
So if your current league site makes life harder than it needs to be,
CBS,
simplify it by doing what we do and use Flea Flicker.
Go to fleaflicker.com/TFFG, fleaflicker.com/TFFJizzle. That would be with a G, not a J, just so you know. So, Lyle sent me a thing the other day. Now, I'm going to actually speak to the Flea Flicker folks about doing this. All right. Guillotine League.
Dude, so I'm on Reddit just, you know, browsing the internet as I always am.
As one does.
And there was a great post in the subreddit, the Fantasy Football subreddit, about Guillotine League. So check this out, y'all. Okay, you set it up like a normal everyday redraft, but it's 16 teams.
17 teams for a 16-week season.
I think we'd want it 16 because you'd never want to do the last week.
No, you still have a 16-week season. You need one guy at the end. Anyway, don't worry. That's semantics.
Okay, fine. 17 teams. Either way, you have a normal redraft draft at the beginning, right? And what happens is every week, the team that scores the fewest points gets dropped out of the league.
Right. No divisions. Everybody's in one league. Last guy dropped out of the league.
They're gone. And here's where it gets cool. Their entire roster is put on waivers.
Right.
So every week there's a ripe, fresh. I mean, again, they scored the fewest amount of points, so maybe their team just sucks. So I was talking to Kevin about the strategy. We're definitely going to do one of these for listeners this year. It's going to be so much fun.
We have to put an auction thing in there as well. It can't just be, you know, player who finished last gets the best picks. It's got to be.
I don't know.
Because you got to look. Do you spend your money early?
But you only get one.
Do you spend your money late?
But you only get one before you move to the back of the waiver priority. So.
Right, but I'm saying if you do it, you know, blind auction, then everybody in the league.
I hate those, man. But anyway,
you hate them because you suck at it.
We can discuss that.
You suck.
But the point is, at the end of the year, there's one game between the two, obviously the two best teams, and they're going to be just ridiculously stacked.
When it gets down to eight teams, they're going to be ridiculous.
It's going
to
be silly.
There's going to be starting wide receivers on the waiver wire because there's just no room for them.
There will be no room for them. Right. So there'll be really, really, really good players all over the place. It'll be a really interesting strategy. So I'm thinking like we just everybody throwing $5, winner take all, something.
Well, it depends.
Keep it fun.
It depends on where you do it. If you do it on, if we can get Flea Flicker to do that, or you just run it there.
We could just run it there, man.
And the commission just
cut the last
it.
Team. Sorry.
Yeah. If that happens, right, dude. If you run it on Flea Flicker, you can do it for $5. There's other places you can do it for 30, 55, 75, whatever. But it would suck if you drop 35 plus their fee and you were out week one.
Yeah, I'd say we just run it manually.
If you lose $5 or $10, who cares?
Yeah, that's why I figured $5, like whatever, and then winner take all at the end of the year just to keep it fun. But yeah, I mean, you could literally play week one and be done.
And yeah,
like, just be out.
How are you doing in that?
So I was talking to Kevin about the strategy of this. And I think you want to be middle of the pack, kind of out of the gate, or more towards the bottom, because you want some of the first waiver picks
if you're doing it by
to beef your team up. If you're constantly the highest score every week, you can't change your team, and by the time you get to the middle of the season, these other teams are going to be better than yours.
Right, which is why I'm thinking you got somewhere to be, man. You keep looking
at
your watch.
Well, I'm getting text messages.
Oh, I got you.
I have an Apple Watch. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Well,
it just buzzed and I just looked at it, man. We didn't have to break the show because of it. I'm still talking.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're talking about
literally
that.
I'm talking right now.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why I'm thinking that doing the blind auction for the players is better. Because even if your strategy is I'm gonna spend up early, you know, and you say you get $100 or $200, I'm gonna spend up early and get all those best players to draw, or I'm gonna save up all my money. You know, but if you do that, you run the risk of being.
See, that's why I think there
has
to be some kind of waiver priority involved.
I don't know, man.
It can't just be blind money, because if it's blind money, then it comes down to money management. It doesn't come down to how well your team's performing and all that kind of stuff.
Well, dude, that's what football is money management. Do you spend early? Do you spend late?
Yeah, but football also doesn't. You don't. Your team, your players aren't released to the field every week either. So,
man, would be great. That would be weird if that happened.
That'd be really weird.
Yeah, 32-week season. Season only happens every 2 years.
Yeah, I saw a really, really funny post that somebody reposted, again, on Reddit, that last year they were talking about the Cowboys drafting Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
And somebody said, dude, next year, Eagles, get Saquon Barkley. That dude's going to be a beast. And somebody replied, he's never going to be there at 32. And everybody was like, lol, no way, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. They won the Super Bowl, bitches.
I know. And I love going back to somebody on Reddit always posts a link to somebody from back like when they hired Doug. It's like, what are we trying to do? This sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, now he can do no wrong. Literally, he could probably have 5 to 8 losing seasons in a row in Philly and still be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he won a Super Bowl, bro.
Well,
he's been a coach for 2 years. I forget all the other time he spent in Philly. He's been a coach for 2 years. He's already in the Hall of Fame. The Eagles
Ring of Fame. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like immediately, like he's in there. He's one of the best coaches ever in Philly.
Oh yeah.
Like you just can't. Yeah. He can already beat Andy Reid.
He can have a radio show in Philadelphia until he drops dead.
Yes. 100. And he'll never have to pay for a beer.
No.
No. No. Anyway. All right. What are we talking about? The draft.
Yeah, let's talk about the draft. So, you know, a lot of defensive players are chosen, a lot of, you know, offensive linemen, et cetera. What we're really worried about is players that were drafted that are the skill positions that fantasy football's built around. Yeah, I know about IDP, and I know about all that as well. And defensive players...
We're just going to go alphabetically here?
Yeah, so let's just start with Arizona. So, Lyle and I think agree that one of the huge steals of the draft is Josh Friggin Rosen at number 10 to the Cardinals. This was huge.
Yeah, I mean... Listen, it was probably the biggest shock for me. People had been talking about Rosen falling. I really didn't buy it because I thought the Giants were going to take a quarterback. I really didn't think they were going to take Saquon Barkley. But they didn't. And, of course, the Browns went Baker Mayfield. So we were like, what? So, I mean, Rosen falling to 10. Dude, the Cardinals have to be doing backflips right now. Plus, they got Christian Kirk, who I think is going to be a beast, too.
Yeah,
I really like him.
They certainly helped that offense, you know, in the first three 100%. Picks. They got a center as well.
Boom, boom, yep.
And then they went running back. They got Chase Evans from Fordham, which is pretty big.
Yep, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't do much for defense. They got a sixth-round cornerback from Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State.
Obviously they knew that they needed some help on the offensive side, but, you know, I don't think we're going to see Rosen right away unless, as we say, you know, Sam Bradford – you know, tears an ACL, reaching for a burrito.
Wouldn't be the first time. Wouldn't be the first time a rookie quarterback came in to replace Sam Bradford in week one.
Well, you never know. You know, maybe somebody needs a quarterback and Sammy gets traded. So anyway, All right. So Atlanta, who just inked Matt Ryan to a 5-year, $100 million guaranteed deal, they did pretty well by themselves as well in the first round by bringing in Alabama's Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, you know, not a super big guy. But definitely, you know,
6'1", 190 ain't small.
It's not, but in today's NFL,
ain't
a receiver,
Calvin Johnson,
right? You're looking for usually a much bigger receiver drafted that high. But anyway, dude, I love that they signed they signed him and or are going to sign him. He's going to be freaking amazing. They needed somebody to compliment Julio.
Julio Hones.
That's what I'm calling him now.
Julio Hones.
Julio.
Yeah. I guess you could say they did some other things as well. They got a running back in Ito Smith from Southern Miss and another wide receiver from LSU, Russell Gage.
But really, they lost Taylor Gabriel, which, you know, they didn't use him that much, right? But right. I feel like they should have because he was pretty dangerous. Remember 2 years ago?
He was like a 3 or 4 week stretch, he had a couple TDs per game. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. But anyway, you know, definitely addressing some needs. I think they had a pretty decent draft overall.
Right. They're certainly going to be a team to be reckoned with. I mean, you know, they're probably, if not the favorite for the NFC South, they're in the conversation to be sure. Mm-hmm. Looking at the Ravens, this was a pretty interesting draft. Dude.
Ravens killed it. Ravens killed it, man.
There was a difference of opinion among all the talking heads about the draft. Who was the top tight end coming out? Was it Hurst? Was it Gettert? Was it, you know, Gesicki from Penn State?
Right.
But, you know, really the only thing that mattered was what the teams thought. And the Ravens took Hayden Hurst, 6'5", 250.
They also drafted Mark Andrews.
They did.
Who was 6'5", 256 out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, so, I saw that a little bit. I think he may be the run-blocking tight end.
Maybe, but either way, they're investing in that position, clearly.
They are. The big move, of course, by those Ravens, is trading with the Eagles into back into the first round to get Lamar
Jackson.
Something that
you predicted, Kevin, that somebody was going to try to take that 32 spot to grab a quarterback and tell the listeners why it's important to get one in the first round.
Right. If you're going for a quarterback in the first, you want to get that fifth-year option for first-rounders.
First-rounder, you have a fifth-year option.
Right.
That's why it's very important to draft one in the first round if you think that they might be potentially, you know.
And if you're getting the quarterback, you want that fifth-year option. So, you know, you've seen around the league, like the Eagles just exercised Nelson Aguilar's fifth year.
Right.
We talked about Kevin White not getting that fifth year. So it's right around that time teams do that. But, you know, for any position player that's, you know, contributing to your team, you want that option. But for a quarterback, it's even more important because we know how damn expensive those guys can be.
Right.
So getting Lamar Jackson at 132,
I think it's worked out pretty well. Again, I think this is one of the steals of the draft. We expected him to go much, much higher because we expected all the quarterbacks, basically the top four, to be gone
after four picks.
Pretty well, not four, but like five, roughly. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because I didn't expect the Browns to draft two of them, but you never know.
Well, I expected the Giants to get one.
Yep.
I, you know, pretty much knew the Jets were in there for that.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Five picks because the Brown. I kind of expected the Browns maybe draft or trade back to five and
right.
You know, have the Broncos or somebody try to get pick four.
Right.
That didn't happen. We'll talk about what the Browns did for. But
I am utterly shocked that even when the Browns went Baker Mayfield, the Giants didn't draft a quarterback. They really had their pick there. Mayfield was like fourth on most people's boards. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not judging that pick yet. Who knows?
Right.
Good for the Browns. They saw their guy. They went and got him. It's fine. I have a much bigger problem with their second pick.
Well, yeah, we'll get there.
But anyway, but what I'm saying is that was really surprising to me that the Giants just went, nope, we want the running back.
Yeah.
And it was
we can win with the QB
it was
we
like,
got.
Oh, okay. So then the Jets are like, what? Who do we got? The top
quarterback in the draft?
Yeah. We'll allow it.
So anyway, Lamar Jackson. The Ravens had a bunch of picks here. They got Orlando Brown. The jury's still out on this guy. He had a terrible combine, a better pro day, but the film looks good. And, you know, as a right tackle, he should be fine. Went with, they got, you know, safety, a couple wide receivers, Jahlil Scott and Jordan Lasley from UCLA. You know, some offensive line help, some defensive line help, some linebacker help. I mean, they had a ton of draft picks. And if half of them at least come close to hitting, then they'll consider this a success.
Right.
So Buffalo.
Buffalo killed it, man. First of all, Josh Allen falls in their lap, right?
Yeah.
You know,
seventh pick, man.
Yeah. Again, he could easily end up being the number one quarterback out of this draft, right? All of the top four and maybe the top five quarterbacks in this draft could go on to have, you know, wonderful careers in the NFL. Statistically speaking, that usually doesn't happen, but I'm just saying, you know, based on their college careers and where they are.
Right.
You don't expect a guy like Josh Allen, I'm not saying in this specific draft, but I'm just saying overall, usually like that kind of talent to fall to you at pick seven. That usually you don't get somebody that good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, you know, a lot of people thought the Broncos would take a quarterback, et cetera.
Right.
We knew that the Colts probably wouldn't. Going to.
But I heard they were listening to trade offers for Luck. So,
well, you know, I think any good general manager or team is going to listen to anything anybody wants to throw at them.
Probably not.
Well,
not for your star quarterback.
Whether they take them seriously or not. Well, dude, it's the star quarterback who didn't play it all last season because of a shoulder issue, and there's no guarantee that he's going to come back the way he was.
I understand.
You're going to listen to those. So anyway, Josh Allen has his detractors.
But still incredibly talented.
Yeah, his completion percentage isn't great. His accuracy is questionable. But anyway, really, the steal of it for me was their second pick, which was Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah.
That linebacker from Virginia Tech. That guy, you know, in any other draft that wasn't full of quarterbacks, would have been a top 10 guy to be sure.
Probably, yep. Yep, and I mean, they filled it out really well, too. Defensive tackle, couple of cornerbacks, couple of receivers. You know, got a guard out of Virginia Tech, Wyatt Teller. You know, had a really, really solid draft in Buffalo, which I'd like to see. The AFC, I really don't care about as long as you're not a Patriot, so...
Right.
You know, I'm excited for every team, pretty much.
Yeah, I want to see any team, you know, even push the Patriots to be...
Definitely.
You know, anyway.
That's why I love the potential of the next pretty boy, awesome quarterback being a New York Jet.
Well, have you seen Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go pretty boy.
All right, so you know what I mean, though.
Well, like, he's a ginger NFL for star. One.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't matter, man. We got a ginger, too, Ginger Jesus.
Yeah, I know. We have the ginger.
That's true.
So looking at Carolina's draft, they did pretty well.
It was okay. Yeah.
I really like DJ Moore out of Maryland. I think, you know, he's a big playmaker. He was the second-rated receiver in the draft.
Again, though, kind of on the small side, you know. And listen, I'm you know, Steve Smith was, what, 5'10"? 5'11"?
5'9".
Is he 5'9"?
Yeah, he was tiny.
And he was amazing. Hall of Famer Steve Smith?
Yeah, I would say.
I would probably say so, too.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, looking at DJ Moore, they need more people around Cam. And they got a nice tight end in Ian Thomas out of Indiana. And really, after that, they just went defense from start to finish.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, well, they, like you said, other than Ian Thomas and DJ Moore, yes. They're trying to address issues on their defense. So.
Right. So, and, you know, they needed to do that. So, really, you know, as far as drafting a fantasy player out of here, it's DJ Moore, and then you go to the next squad.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the Chicago Bears.
Dude,
they got a steal in Roquan Smith.
Dude looks awesome.
Grabbing him with the 8th pick.
Yep.
He's going to be pretty good. You know, they got Anthony Miller out of Memphis, who should be pretty good. He got
really good pick. Yep.
A second round pick out of him. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, took a flyer on Javon Wims from Georgia. And they also got Bilal Nichols from defensive tackle from Delaware, just to mention that.
Cause, of D.
Yeah, so he's a local kid. Good for him.
Yep.
So, you know, really, you know, as far as skill players go, you'll have to keep an eye on Anthony Miller. But for fantasy football, not a whole lot happening with them Bears.
Yeah. Maybe, well, we'll see about Trubisky, too.
Well,
they have that whole thing.
Yeah,
going.
But he wasn't drafted this year, so we'll have to see.
Oh, Bengals.
Them Bengals, dude. Billy Price, center, right? I guess. I mean, you know, kind of early for a center.
6'4", 300 pounds, whatever.
Yeah, good for him.
Big guy.
You know, but, you know, their first player that you might even be able to look at from a fantasy perspective is Mark Walton from Miami in the 4th round, which wasn't bad, but really.
Listen, his.
That's it.
You know, he was playing really, really well, but, he had an ankle injury that took him down for the rest of the season last year. So,
right.
We'll see. These are the kind of dice rolls that can pay massive dividends. You know, pretty much any running back that attends the University of Miami, you need to have a look at.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, the only reason this guy fell so low is because he missed most of the 2017 season.
Kind of smallish, you know, 5'10", but...
Yeah, that's not too bad for a running back, though. He's 200-plus pounds. You know, he can bang.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's going on there. You know, don't want to
here we go.
Muddy the waters with Joe Mixon.
All right, next. Clee.
All right, so Cleveland had a lot of picks in this draft. So they open up with Baker Mayfield. We started hearing about that draft day, Thursday, that, you know, they were leaning Baker. I don't know who leaked that or what, but, you know, I don't mind the pick. You know, I liked him as a quarterback. He's got swagger. He's got moxie. He's got the attitude. You know, and he's the most accurate thrower in the draft as far as quarterbacks go.
Just short.
But he's listed as 6'1", but
yeah, he's probably 6 foot, 5'11" and a half. Yeah.
So, you know, all that aside, you know,
he's good. I mean, guy won a Heisman Trophy, right?
Right. So, you know, Heisman Trophy doesn't mean anything in the NFL.
It doesn't.
No,
but what I'm saying is he's pretty good.
But, you know, you look at guys like taller guys like Flacco, Wentz, these guys, they're constantly having passes batted down at the line because they're not used to having to find those throwing
That's
lanes.
True.
They're used to being tall enough where they can just arch the ball over. And you know, they have to get used to that. But you look at what Drew Brees was able to do. You look at what Doug Flutie back in the day was able to do. Because they've been short, quote unquote short, all of their lives, they had to make to move in the pocket, move out of the pocket to find those running lanes. You look at what Russell Wilson does to do that. And Baker Mayfield's had to do that too. Tall guys in college also. Mm-hmm. You know, you got grown-ass men there who are also 6'5 on the line. So Mayfield's been one of those guys that's had to move to find those throwing lanes.
Right.
And, you know, I think he's going to be able to do it at the next level. It's going to be difficult in Cleveland, but because everything's difficult in Cleveland, but... you know, I feel good for the pick, quite frankly.
I do too. The thing is, though, quarterbacks especially traditionally have not Heisman Trophy winners have not done well. So it does make me nervous. Well, I mean, think what good ones have been out there. Cam won a Heisman, right?
Yeah. Geez, I mean, you got Tim Tebow.
RG3 won a Heisman, I think.
Didn't he? I can't remember. It's not.
Yeah, he did. Sam Bradford definitely won a Heisman.
Yeah, from
USC or Oklahoma.
Oklahoma,
I mean.
Yeah.
So it's like Jerry St. Manziel won one. Mariota won one. James Winston won one. So they're doing okay. Mariota and Winston are.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with the Manziel. Allegedly, he had a pretty good little workout there, but nobody's really.
What was that dude from USC that back in the day, man?
That dude, Leinart?
Leinart, Matt Leinart. Yeah. Yes, he won one. That's him. Carson Palmer won a, I think he won a Heisman.
Again.
So he's okay.
It's not something that really just sticks on my radar.
I'm just saying. So, but we have two in this draft, just like we did a couple years ago.
Right. And I mentioned, to you before that first and last pick of the first round, both Heisman Trophy
winners. Heisman Trophy winners.
It's kind of weird.
Kind of wild.
So looking at the rest of the Browns draft. So they're sitting there at number four, and Bradley Chubb, best defensive player for the
this,
year.
I have a problem with this
is
pick.
Sitting there, and they picked Denzel Ward from Ohio State.
Listen,
really good cornerback.
Ward is a stellar player. Stellar player. And they're not going to be disappointed with him. But he's smaller, right? And I just cannot justify passing on Chubb, man. I can't.
Yeah, that kind of struck me a little bit. Yeah, sorry, I'm replying to a text.
You're the one texting over there now.
So
we'll move on to the Dallas Cowboys, and they suck, so we'll move past them. No, I'm kidding. You know, obviously they're
first. So we're done with the Browns? Yeah. What about Nicky Chubb from Georgia in the second round?
Yeah, okay.
I think he's going to be able to contribute.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, listen, he'll be okay.
What about Tony Callaway, fourth round receiver from Florida? I think he'll be all right.
Okay. Are you done?
Well, I guess
you want to talk about Damian Ratley?
If you're, you know.
Well, I'm trying to move this thing along. We're supposed to go to the range, bro.
I know.
We're not even, like, we're like four teams in.
All right. We'll speed it up a little bit.
So Dallas got Van Der Esch.
Yeah. I don't mind that. If he can stay healthy, it's another one of those Sean Lee things. Like, they can't stop picking, you know, linebackers who are injury prone. Now, you know, allegedly he's fine. He failed a couple physicals with a couple teams, but you know, I think when healthy, as we know, he's pretty damn good.
He can be pretty damn good. But they didn't, you know, the thing is they do that, but then they go offense, and they come back to defense in the fourth round with an end.
Right.
Well, okay. Maybe they need another edge rusher, whatever.
They kind of
then they go tight end and quarterback again. So they're really not addressing. They got three defensive players, two linebackers. But Covington's, you know, a sixth rounder. Maybe he's okay. Maybe he's not. I don't know.
Yeah, and then you get Bo Scarborough, who a lot of people liked, you know, in Alabama. But he slipped to the seventh round, you know, for a couple of different reasons.
Yeah,
he's got good speed. And he's big, but. I don't know. It's just he's not. He didn't have a whole lot of negative runs. Don't know why he slipped to the seventh, but who knows? We'll see. It's not like he's going to get a whole lot of playing time in Dallas anyway. And, you know, unless you know Zeke has more issues, which you never know. He might. The recipient of the Browns' bad drafting at four pretty much dropped Bradley Chubb.
I think that Allen would have been taken here.
You think
had
so?
Had Chubb not been available.
Maybe.
I think they would have won Josh Allen, but you just don't pass on a guy like Chubb.
No, he's a guy, you know, especially when you have Von Miller there and you can put Chubb in there with him, and you're like, you know, what are you going to do with that? He's prototypical, you know, big ass player. He's the kind of guy who's just going to be able to just
like an edge rusher really wasn't on their radar either. But it just goes to show you, man, when you got a guy with that kind of talent, you go, how did this happen? Who cares? Right. Let's take him.
Well, you know, I think if they didn't have a viable option in Case Keenum, if we've seen play Maybe. Well
yeah,
in
yeah.
the right situation,
yep.
you know, you go, okay, well, we're in a position where we can take the best player available.
Right.
And obviously the best player available was Bradley Chubb, so they hopped on him. And, dude, they ended up with Cortland Sutton from SMU in the second round in number eight.
Very solid pick.
So that's going to be great for Case
Royce
Keenum.
Freeman.
And, yeah, from Oregon in the third round. So they're really kind of bolstering their offense. You know, the running back position there for the Broncos has been kind of questionable for the last few years. So,
And they got the guy from Penn State, too, Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And they
he's
got
the all-time leading receiver at Penn State. I'd say it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not
I think
bad.
He's second. Yeah, he's second in receiving yards.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, don't hate that draft. I think they improved their team in a bunch of different ways.
Yes.
So we'll see. So the team that's going to win the Super Bowl this year, if current trends hold.
The Detroit Lions.
Yeah, because LeGarrette Blount's there now.
Blount.
So, yep. Anyway, their first pick was a center. So that probably disappointed Detroit fans who were looking for a little more splash. But they have had some offensive line issues there. And Frank Ragnow can certainly address a lot of those. They came right back with Kerryon Johnson from Auburn. That's going to be really good for them.
Yep.
Because we've seen, you know, they've had decent receivers, but they've really had no running game.
Yeah,
so you bring a guy like Johnson in, and then you bring LeGarrette Blount in to be the thumper. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, Stafford's going from having no running game behind him to having arguably, you know, a pretty good one.
A good one.
Not certainly, you know, even close to the best in the division. You know, you got to figure that, you know, maybe
right.
Minnesota's got that, you know, pretty much nailed down.
Raleigh.
You know, and, you know, Green Bay's doesn't suck either. So,
no.
You know, just they need to be better than what they were, and they went ahead and did that. Speaking of Green Bay, their first pick was Jaire Alexander. Here's the thing. Dude, round one and round two.
They went cornerback, cornerback.
They got the two best cornerbacks, arguably, in the draft.
Yep. I love it.
And they needed it.
Yes, very bad.
So, and then after that, you know, they got Jamon Moore from Missouri as wide receiver. Got a couple other receivers as well. They got my favorite name in the entire draft was Equanimeous St. Brown from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
He had a pretty good combine. He looked pretty good. So,
yep. Notre Dame.
From Notre Dame. So let's look at Houston. You're right. We have a bunch of teams to get through.
I told you. There's 32 of them, Kevin.
I know. Well, yeah. It's kind of what we do.
Justin Reed was their first pick. Safety, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Not a whole lot there. They got Jordan Aikens. Tight ends. They have Kiki Cootie from Texas Tech.
I don't think his name is Cootie. I think it's Cootie.
I like Cootie. I'm going to call him Cootie.
Yeah. I'm sure he's never heard that before.
No, I'm sure he hasn't. But not a whole lot of skill players that we can talk about for
really
fantasy.
Not. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Indianapolis falls into that same category. They went guard/tackle.
Listen, Quentin Nelson's a great pick.
He is, but yeah. He's not going to get any points directly in fantasy. The first person who's going to be able to do that for me is Nyheim Hines from North Carolina State, gotten in the fourth round. Don't really see a whole lot happening there. Maybe Darius Fountain from Northern Iowa can find a place on the team.
It's hard to look at rookies, you know, that are fourth or fifth rounders making an impact.
One of these guys is going to make an impact.
One of these guys might be a Hall of Famer, but year one,
right.
It's usually pretty difficult. But I will say this. Guys, this is another reason why we watch preseason games. I write down the names. Well, I don't write them physically anymore. I tell you, I have an Excel spreadsheet because we're in that Dynasty League, but if somebody makes an impact in preseason, you might not see him for the rest of the year. But pay attention, because a lot of those guys end up becoming big names. I remember you talking about Anquan Boldin. You know, he blew up in the preseason, right? He had three, like, monster games.
That's how long we've been playing this, dude. Yeah. It was Anquan Boldin had, like, a 12, 13-year career.
Yeah.
We were playing fantasy together before that.
Yes, yeah. But, yeah, and then you don't hear from him the entire season because they're rookies.
Well, actually, he blew up game one.
He did. Yeah.
But Donald Driver for the Packers.
That's who
was
it was.
Guy.
It was Donald Driver. That's who it was. God, that's probably even longer ago.
It was, yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. So you see that from time to time where somebody will explode. So definitely pay attention to all these names. You know, again, if you don't see them in the preseason, if they're not doing much in the preseason, chances are they're probably not going to do anything in the NFL, too.
Yeah, for Driver, he really didn't do much that season, but
right.
The next season, yes. He was a starter and, you know, was obviously a guy who blew up. So, looking at the Jaguars, they made a good defense better. You know, they got Tavon Bryan, who was a beast. They went ahead and got Ronnie Harrison from Bama in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Shark from LSU should be a guy who's going to be able to come in and make some noise right away.
Mm-hmm. We're in a 4-3-4, bro.
In a dynasty league, he's probably going to be a late first rounder, early second rounder, just because dynasty leagues are like that. Mm-hmm. So be on the lookout for that guy. Kansas City picked themselves a defensive end in the first round. Breland Speaks, he's pretty good.
They got no offensive players.
No O players. Yeah. So no, moving on
was,
to them Chargers.
It was all defense. And good for them.
Well, they kind of needed that.
Yes.
Kind of weird for Andy they didn't take a big offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He kind of does that. Yeah. Derwin James, arguably the best safety on the board, ended up going number 17 to the Chargers. Okay. Their first offensive player was in the sixth round, Dylan Cantrell, and then Justin Jackson in the seventh. Those guys may not even make the squad. So status quo for the Chargers. Looking at the Rams.
Oh, I don't like these.
Offensive tackle Joe Noteboom.
Yep, 6'5", 309, baby.
Right, so they really didn't do anything offensively because they didn't really have to.
No.
First offensive skill player was John Kelly, running back out of Tennessee.
Well, first of all, they didn't have any damn picks.
Who? The Rams?
Yeah, early ones, I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, right. Their first pick was
they had a
like
bunch
25th
of four, five,
third.
Six. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, they weren't there early for the good guys.
Right.
That's good.
Good.
But they didn't have to draft skill players because they got them all through free agency.
They sure did.
The bastards. Okay, but yeah, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with out in the West. Another arguably best safety in the draft, Minkah Fitzpatrick, was grabbed by them Dolphins early, and they went ahead and grabbed Mike Gesicki.
I love it. They're going to bring Gronk at the Patriots.
Yeah.
6'6", 247, beast.
He is. And you know, I was really kind of hoping he'd be there for the Birds when they got there, but I'm happy with Dallas Goedert. It's
me all too.
Good. You know, and they got another tight end too, Durham Smythe. I like that Smythe from Notre Dame as well.
All these tight ends are huge.
Well, that's the game now.
Yeah.
You know, so really it's going to be about Mike Gesicki. You know, so he's probably going to be a second rounder in dynasties. Looking at what the Vikings did.
They went all D as well.
They went all D. They got a cornerback. Well, they went offensive tackle.
Oh, they did go tackle,
they got Brian O'Neill from Salesiana here in Delaware.
Yep.
He went to Pitt.
6'7", 297.
That's O'Neill.
Yeah. 6'7", dude.
Yeah, he played on 7-on-7 team with Rob.
Oh, really?
Rob.
Yeah.
Hey, he was just out of control. And they'd go to work out together at Titus. And this kid just walking around, just a beast.
Yeah.
Head and shoulders above everybody else, just lifting up the entire rack of weights. It's like, all right. And that was when he was a tight end, dude.
Right.
That's not even when he switched to tackle. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing him play. Looking at the Patriots, they probably got, okay, I'm going to say a steal in Sony Michel. He could turn out to be rookie of the year, dude.
Yes.
You know, on any other team that, you know, committed to the run, who didn't have a ton of running backs, and, you know, Sony can sit on the bench for half a game while somebody else takes over, but, you know, James White or whoever, it's going to be weird there, but he is supremely talented.
He sure is.
They went tackle with their first pick, Michel with their second pick. And then they didn't really go back to offense again until the sixth round with Braxton Berrios. So really, it's Sony Michel, and if they use him well, he's going to be.
I don't know that you can trust that out of the Patriots though. They're just so random.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to trust that. It's certainly in a redraft league every year. Mm. You know, he's going to be sixth, seventh round maybe just because of the Patriot angle of it. Looking at the New Orleans Saints, they did a weird thing, dude. They traded up in the first
and get Davenport.
Right, and I thought, oh, they're going for Jackson here.
Yeah.
And instead of that, they consider, you know, defensive end Marcus Davenport somebody worth losing next year's first-round pick for.
Well, they needed an edge rusher. They did. They got him. So, big, bad mofo. 4'5", 840. 4'5", 8.
Yeah, at 6'6", 264.
Yeah.
Pretty intense.
Yeah.
Tre'Quan Smith, University of Central Florida receiver, went in the third round to them.
Like that pick, too.
So that's going to be pretty good. I mean, you know, they use all their receivers there in New Orleans, so that ought to be interesting. They went with Boston Scott from Louisiana Tech in the sixth. You know, he's probably going to be doing special teams for a couple years anyway because they have, you know, a couple pretty good running backs there in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Looking at the Giants.
Saquon.
I didn't really like that pick.
Me either.
You know, not just because I don't want to face him twice a year, but, you know, actually, I do kind of like it from an Eagles fan perspective because if they got a good quarterback, we're looking at that dude for the next 20 years, potentially.
Right.
Barkley's got a pretty short shelf life by comparison. So I guess they figure they can win now with the quarterback they have for the next 3 years in Barkley. So, you know, we'll see. They also got Will Hernandez in the second round.
They did draft a quarterback. It just was late.
They did. They got Kyle Laletta from Richmond.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like drafting a Delaware quarterback.
Right.
He's going to come in as a project anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. So
tell that to Joey Flacco.
Well, yeah, but he was elsewhere, and he transferred in for his senior year.
I understand.
He was at Pitt.
Yes.
So he was a top level D1 talent. Who, you know, got caught in the shuffle, so.
Right. Everybody paused while Kevin has to cough.
Yeah. A little phlegm. I hit the cough button, man. It's all right.
I know.
All right. So, really, you know, for the Giants, it's Saquon. He's going to be the number one pick in every dynasty draft. And no doubt a number one pick in redraft leagues as well, whether he should be or not. Sam Darnold was the first pick for the Jets, as we know.
Yeah.
I think I
like that pick.
He's probably not going to be in right away. We're going to see McCown.
Probably.
You know, we're going to see maybe other guys there as well, but, you know, because Bridgewater's there. So they don't really need Sam right away, and they're going to let him, you know, because he has trouble securing the ball with turnovers.
Yep.
Like his first couple passes at the rookie camp, yeah, they were both picks.
Yep. He gets a little lazy.
So welcome to the Sam Darnold school
era.
Of quarterbacking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, they took Chris Herndon from Miami as a tight end, so we'll see where he fits in. So not a whole lot of offense being grabbed by these guys. Nope. So let's take a look at Oakland.
Oaktown.
The first John Gruden draft of his second tenure there. Mm-hmm. First dude he takes is Colt Miller, 6'9", 309 from UCLA.
Yep, nice pick.
That's a huge pick.
They went tackle again in the third round.
Right, so they have their ends, right? Mm-hmm. They only went skill position offense, seventh round.
Last pick.
Got Marcel Aitman.
Yeah, so I'm out of Oklahoma State.
So then them Eagles jumped in front of Dallas in the second round.
To take Dallas.
To take Philly Gettert. His name is now Philly Gettert.
His name is Philly?
On Reddit, they're calling him Philly.
Philly.
And it's starting to catch on.
I love it.
So we'll see what happens with that. Dude, 6'5", 256.
You know, he's actually named after the Dallas Cowboys. His dad was a massive Cowboys fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Could have been worse. He could have been named Landry.
But he broke off and ended up being a Packers fan his whole life.
How about that? Well, now he plays for them Eagles.
Mm-hmm. The Dakota Eagles is what they're calling him.
Yeah.
That's what this says right here.
Yeah, exactly. So they're calling him...
North Dakota State and South Dakota State.
Right, so it says Philly landed a franchise. Yeah, they're calling him Philly Gettert, so we'll see if that sticks. And they didn't go scope as they only had five picks in the whole draft, so they got a couple of tackles at the end.
They have 11 next year.
They do, and they also got a pretty good running back as an undrafted free agent.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, let me effort that real quick, since we're talking Eagles.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can talk Eagles for the rest of the day, as far as I'm concerned.
We kind of do anyway. So the dude that they took, internet slow. They got Josh Adams, running back for
Notre Dame. Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that is cool.
So I kind of dig that pick. So, you know, it's... Mm-hmm.
People scoff at undrafted free agents, but...
Two words for you, dude. Corey Clement, right? So Pittsburgh did pretty well by themselves as well. They got Terrell Edmunds, safety, with the 28th pick.
I'm pretty sure Jason Peters was an undrafted free agent.
He was signed
by the Bills?
For Bills, yeah.
Yeah.
They took wide receiver James Washington.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
With their second pick, 28th overall. Then they got Mason Rudolph, which I really like, dude. Yeah. I think he's going to be at least functional as a good backup to Ben.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised he fell so far.
Me too. I really thought he could go back end of the first.
Me too.
But, you know, I'm just reading what other people are writing about the guy, you know, so I'm not actually talking to him like these NFL teams are, so who knows. But once again, we have a Marcus Allen in the league. He's a safety for the Penn State Nittany Lions now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a safety.
Didn't have to travel far, did he?
Not a running back. No, and they also signed our buddy Quadri Henderson from AI DuPont here in Delaware. Went to Pitt, and he's now a kick returner, punt returner, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Interesting.
Seattle Seahawks, dude, I love this first pick. Rashad Penny.
Yeah, me too.
From San Diego State. He's not huge, 5'11", 220.
Yeah, boy, do they need a running back.
But he's going to walk right in. He should take the starting running back
I would expect him to. I mean, I can't imagine any one of those guys.
Well, it's not like any of the guys there were lighting it up, right?
Well, or can stay on the field healthy.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
So the Seahawks did pretty well for themselves there. They got a tight end in the fourth, and then pretty much stayed offense all the way until Alex McGough in the seventh round from Florida International. So we'll see. I say McGough. It might be McGow. I don't know. I've heard it both ways. Which is
I think it's McGough a foul.
Well, I knew a guy with that spelling his last name. He said McGough.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. The crime dog.
That would be McGruff.
Oh, my bad.
Let's do this other thing.
Ah, yes.
If I ask you how many Super Bowls the Steelers have won, or which running back had the best fantasy year last year,
Todd Gurley,
you wouldn't even think about it. You wouldn't even blink. You'd have the answer like Lyle just did. But if I asked you to describe what kind of wine you like, you might have trouble coming up with anything besides white or red.
Well, if that's the case, then Wink, WINC, is the perfect wine club for you. Their palate profile will match wines to you and make the discovery of great wines feel like you're winning the game.
So how does Wink make it easy to discover great wine, you might ask? Well, Wink's wine experts select wines matched to your taste, personalized for you, shipped right to your door, and starting at just $13 a bottle.
Just fill out Wink's palate profile quiz, answer questions like, how do you take your coffee, and how do you feel about blueberries? Then Wink sends wines curated to your taste.
The more wines you rate, the more personalized your monthly selections. Now, each month there are new, delicious wines, but no membership fees. You can skip any month you like, and you can cancel at any time.
Not only that, but there's no shipping costs. And if you don't like a bottle that they send you, they'll replace it with a bottle you'll love, no questions asked.
If you or your significant other or family members like wine, how can you not join Wink with all these great things about it? Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/FFguys. That's TRYWINC.com/FFguys. And you'll get $20 off your first shipment.
That's trywink.com/FFguys for $20 off.
Trywink.com/FFguys.
All right, let's finish out this stuff and go to the range, bro. We're going to go shooting.
Yeah,
we're going to go down there and shoot some of them there targets.
We're going to exercise our Second Amendment rights.
That's right.
Mike McGlinchey went to the San Francisco 49ers.
Like that pick.
Dude, they're building it there. They are building it up in Frisco.
Yeah, and then they came back right back with Pettis with their second pick too.
Dante Pettis from Washington. Out of Washington. Silver.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very interesting year for the 49ers.
It's going to be an interesting year for the NFC West.
Yeah, really, it really will be. Well, I mean, obviously the Rams are the powerhouse right now.
Yeah.
Right. Seattle's aging, but
rebuilding,
still there. Anytime you have Russell Wilson, right, you're in.
Right.
You're in. And you have Arizona, who just drafted their young quarterback, and then you have San Francisco, who's got their young quarterback now in a trade. It's going to get wild, man.
And they picked up a lot of players on defense. They got a linebacker, a safety, a D-end, a cornerback, another safety, a D-tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously taking care of business there. Yeah. And they've had a pretty hefty offseason in the free agent arena as well. Vita Vea, arguably the best defensive tackle in the draft, went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. Big feller.
6'4", 347.
Yeah, big feller.
He's not skipping a whole lot of meals, that dude.
Well, they compare him. No, they compare him to Haloti Ngata. So
yeah,
that's a pretty good comparison. For a run defender, that's a pretty good comparison.
And then they came back and got arguably the second best running back in this draft. Ronnie Jones Jr., or from the second, I guess, from USC. So he's going to take the place of Muscle Hamster, who's now not there any longer.
Yep.
And they got another wide receiver later in the draft from Penn, Justin Watson. But we'll see what he works out to be. But really, at this point, it's Ronald Jones. He's the guy you want to look for in these drafts. He might be a steal, probably in round 3 or 4.
Yeah. We'll see. Preseason, if he has a decent game, he'll jump.
Yeah, he will. But, luckily, most people don't watch preseason. But
most people
in leagues
people
we play in. Yeah, they
do. So we're scrawled.
Plus, they also listen to the show. So if we're mentioning them at all, we're done. Then Tennessee came back with an inside linebacker and Rashawn Evans. Not going to help you. They went quarterback. They got Luke Falk.
From Washington State.
From Washington State in the sixth round. But we all know it's about Mariota there. And then your Washington Redskins, Lyle, took D tackle first round. Went with Darius Geis from LSU.
I don't like that. I mean, we have Geis, Barkley, and friggin'
Zeke.
What's his tooth gap in Dallas there? So yeah, I don't like it. Geis is a very good running back.
Yeah, and the fact, I mean, he was one of the other steals in the draft to me at the second round, 27th pick overall.
Mm-hmm.
He was talked about in the first round, just didn't make it.
Yeah, people compare him to Arian Foster. That's what this says right here. But definitely not a great receiver yet.
Right.
So we'll have to see.
But you know what? That's not really required in that that Gruden offense.
He's very fast. So
yeah, if they're going to throw it to anybody, it's going to be to Chris Thompson. We know this.
Probably.
Yeah.
He
was pretty good last year. And then the Skins went defense all the way up into the last round where they got Trey Quinn from SMU.
SMU University.
Yeah, and dude.
That's it. That'd be the draft, bitches.
We popped all the way through there.
Wow. That took a long time.
Took longer than we would hope it would, right?
Yeah, I want to go shoot some guns.
Yeah, so Lyle found an old gun that was his father's.
I've had it forever.
Right, but you had to find the clip.
I had to find the clip. I didn't know where the clip was.
So I've got me my Glock 9, my Glock
22. By the way, I was talking to some police about your suppressor there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not legal. They were like, yeah, it's probably not.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what they said, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that bad boy out today.
Are you?
I don't know. I'm going to try.
That's cool.
I'm going to say the range master. I'm like, okay, if I pull this out, he may go, no. Of course, I don't know why he would.
Yeah. Oh, he's all Second Amendment. He'd be like, that's fine with me, feller.
So why?
I don't know why he's from the Deep South all of a sudden, but he is.
Yeah, because this is North Delaware.
Yeah.
He, you know.
Hey there, feller.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's from Alabama. So I think maybe the assumptions are on your part, not on his.
Yeah, I'm probably pretty accurate, though.
Dude, I tell you, I've been to this range. Yeah. You ain't wrong.
Right.
I told Lyle to make sure he brought his Second Amendment American flag, Make America Great Again.
I have my MAGA hat on, baby.
You have Make the Eagles Great Again hat.
I just have an Eagles hat on. That's not red.
It's not.
But I am wearing a hat.
You
so
have
there's
to.
That.
You kind of have to.
Right.
Unless you want to catch hot bullet casings in your glasses like I have.
Yeah. You got shooting glasses for me?
I do.
Okay. Are they yellow?
No, they're just plain.
Damn
clear.
It. What are yellow ones?
Well, we can stop by Walmart and you can buy a pair.
No, I'm not buying a pair. That's dumb.
Well, you have to deal with the
I just
free
wanted
thing
to look cool.
Dude, glasses ain't going to help.
Are you kidding me? I got mine. I got my gunners here. Where are they?
I don't know.
We know where they are now.
You put them. You came in wearing them, and you look like a douche.
There they are. You kidding me? There's a dope right there, baby. They really do help with eye fatigue, though. Believe it or not.
I'll put a picture of them up on Twitter.
Why?
So that people can decide for themselves whether or not they're dope.
There you go.
All right.
How about that? Get the mic in there.
There we go.
All right.
So that'll be up on Twitter later. You can tell Lyle whether or not his glasses are dope.
Yeah. Well, now they're obviously going to say no.
Yes, they are.
All right, bitches. Love you, mean it.
We'll be back in a couple to talk to you more about, I don't know, stuff, things.
I'm guessing football.
Yeah, probably
discuss a little bit of football.
Maybe some fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy. See you.
Later, bitches.